You know, Kevin, the other day, I was listening to one of my favorite artists of all time, Mr. Rod Stewart.
Ah, yeah.
Yeah, an absolute white-haired classic. That man is just magnificent. Mm-hmm. And I was watching VH1, classic, of course. I can't watch, you know, VH1 now.
Right.
It's a bit too abrasive, I think. So I was watching VH1 classic, and this video came on that I had never seen before.
Yeah.
And
Rod Stewart?
Of course it's Rod. Okay. Who do you think I'm talking about here? So Rod comes on, and he just looks great in a big white suit, like true to the time. It's just like very rigid, and it looks like it's made of cardboard. And he looks cool, looks straight up cool.
In that Stewart sort of way.
Okay. And he starts singing this song. There's a soul in the city, as a boopa doo doo.
Oh,
you know.
Yeah.
And it just kind of builds and builds, and he starts saying can't get enough of those old Motown records. Put the speakers in the window and the door. And I was just flabbergasted. A man who I already respect so much, wanting to share this music with the world. So much that he's like the Howard Beale of Motown.
The correct pronunciation. It's commonly mispronounced as Motown. That's actually the British mispronunciation, which is why that song is indeed called that old Motown
Records.
Rod
Stewart being probably the second most famous Brit, perhaps only the Queen, and certainly more famous than Sir Elton John.
He's Irish, isn't he?
Rod?
Yeah.
Oh. Well, they seem to be partly British. I think that's some sort of dispute they
it's
have.
It's all one united kingdom.
You know? I mean, it's not like they have any sort of independent conflicts of any kind.
So what we're talking about today
is Motown, a musical history of Motortown.
Motown Records was famously founded by Berry Gordy in the early 1960s.
Berry Gordy, you might say, what a silly name this man has. This reminds me of like a clown or something, and that's actually a result of his clown parentage. Both of his parents were clowns, and they paid for his education, his musical education, with their clowning gigs, and they expected him to go to clown college. Instead, he turned to the much more lucrative and popular path of music industry magnate, which I believe is what he majored in at Brown University.
And before we move on, I just want to legitimize clown, because a lot of people, when they hear that, they're going to think of, like, you know, someone in makeup who works at a circus and probably has a drinking problem on the side. Whereas Gordy's parents were
Harlequins.
They were professional, trained clowns.
Italian clowns. Italian school, I mean.
Right.
You know.
Schooled in the form of clown.
Berry Gordy is an essential figure in the civil rights movement for bringing black culture to white America. Which is funny now. I mean, like, you can't really see it these days. You know, it's a curious relic of the past, racism. Most of us, ourselves included, are quite colorblind. We just don't see color, and it's just not something that the world is privy to.
We've moved past it, and when we see things like Mississippi Burning and the civil rights movement of the 60s,
we say what a terrible movie it was, because who would act that way anyway? The motivation seemed implausible to us.
Ridiculous, preposterous even, since racism was destroyed, and in part thanks to
Berry Gordy
and Motown Records.
The thing about him is he is actually still working today. Motown Records was bought by Universal, and it went to severe decline, which we'll discuss at a later point,
of course,
in the broadcast. The
legendary Motown curse.
But Berry Gordy is coming back. He is actually producing a musical right now. Mm. Unfortunately for him, though, he cannot use any of his classic Motown songs because they are now all under the ownership of the Michael Jackson estate, ironically, one of his first clients. So he uses songs that no one has really heard of, like little-known gems.
The Motown Apocrypha.
Yeah, it's the two noble kinsmen of soul music. We have, for instance, Martin Gaylord's I Love You More Than Our Unborn Son.
We also have Don't Talk Like That in Front of Your Mother by the Salad Tossers.
Just a beautiful gem. And he's going to make, I think, I haven't seen it yet, I've crossing my fingers for preview tickets, but we'll see.
I heard they're trying to get Julie Taymor for that.
Really?
Yeah.
She could really bring Moten alive.
I know.
I think she would just make it really pop in the same way that she made the Beatles so much more interesting than they were with Across the Universe. Mm-hmm. Berry Gordy was not the only important figure in Moten.
Of course not.
Oh, you've got to.
He was pivotal. He was the fulcrum, if you will.
Yeah, but I mean, the fulcrum has lots of dendrites that swing dangling from it, knocking down the various pendula, as we all know, as we've seen in many museums.
As the metaphor goes.
And there are so many popular bands that have so many number one hits. We've got bands like the Supremes, the Temptations, the Commodores,
the Jackson 5,
Jackson 5,
Stevie Wonder, Marvin Gaye.
Marvin Gaye.
Later on, we had Gladys Knight and the Pips,
mm-hmm.
as well as Boys to Men in the later days. We also had the Four Tops.
Yeah.
The list just goes on.
Sam and Dave riding a turtle on one of their album covers. Very brave gentlemen to look at such a troublesome time. We have a lot of interesting information that we've unearthed about all these bands, though. And one of the most curious things that we've seen is their weird obsession with forbidden love and love in general. And I think this speaks to a particular part of the Detroit psyche at the time. I feel like it perhaps wasn't built into American culture to really grasp what love is in the same way that a Frenchman is known to be an excellent lover or an Italian person is known to be an excellent mother.
American stigma is to not be a good lover.
Or a terrible, terrible mother as well. Usually the Americans are more famous for our nuclear arsenal and other wonderful things that we've been able to create over the years. Our scientific achievements.
The Model T.
So I think this is a group of people who were really struggling with love and who sought and fought to really grasp it, probably far more so than any other Americans.
Vibrating
really
pager.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. He did. He meant that.
The pillowcase.
Pillow top mattresses.
Comforters. You know, I think that was the Swedes, actually.
Yeah, I think that's why they called them down. There's an umlaut there.
Uh-huh.
Those things that close your blinds, we also invented those. You know, those twisty poles.
So we'll be back to talk about some of the popular bands under the Moten label after a word from our sponsor.
Hey, what are you working on there?
Man, Taylor, I'm trying to work on this letter, but I keep writing it aslant. I'll never amount to anything.
Aw, oh, hey man, it's cool. Maybe your paper just needs an upgrade.
Why? This 8.5x11 bond is already pre-perforated.
Hey, there's no question you're writing on a quality surface, but have you ever thought of using lined paper?
I've always dreamed of it, but isn't it too rigid? I don't want to stifle my creativity.
That's only a myth. History's greatest writers have all used lined paper. Joyce, Faulkner, Wolfe, Homer, literally all of them. And now you too can join them with Lionel's Lined. It's paper with lines.
Orlando's my favorite novel. Man, paper's so ubiquitous, I bet I could find Lionel's Lined paper wherever fine stationery is sold.
Right on, Kevin. Now that's what I call reading between the lines.
Right, but go on. What were you saying before I so rudely interrupted you?
Well, I didn't think it was rude at all. I was actually really delighted to list off our great accomplishments, because unlike the Supremes and Marvin Gaye and the Temptations, I am virtually incapable of feeling love. Not like the Supremes, but they're wonderful hits, like Stop in the Name of Love, sure. Or Where Did Our Love Go?
Right, it's all foreign to me, too. I mean, it's part of it.
Yeah, it's part of our culture to not really feel anything
at all.
Another.
Right.
Yeah, about things.
Yeah. And that is part of the decline of racism, thanks to Moten, right?
The Temptations were also an absolutely fantastic band. They had songs such as Ain't Too Proud to Beg, and You Can See the Depression in Loneliness Made You Realize That It's You That I Need. And they joined for the Supremes with a very, I would say, controversial and perhaps threatening ballad called I'm Gonna Make You Love Me. What a threatening statement.
Very confrontational.
You know?
And fiery. But, I mean, yeah, it's just a little too aggressive for the likes of someone like you or me.
Yeah, somebody who just really doesn't get that concept. It's like almost as if I sang a song and said, I'm going to make you invent the stapler.
Or if you told me, like, I'm going to make fill in the blank, I would say, you know, toast.
Yeah, yeah, I pick something anybody can do,
right.
You know?
Scrambled eggs.
That's just kind of like, I feel like they already fell off there, and that actually started to signal the decline of, like, big groups. And after that, we started to see Stevie Wonder,
Stevie Wonder, the longtime, actually the only member from the original heyday of Moton that is still with Moton exclusively today.
An impressive gentleman. Started almost as a child playing glorious harmonica tunes with the most luscious, beautiful set of child lips that I have ever seen in my entire life.
And a voice as crispy as buttered popcorn. Stevie Wonder was a pivotal figure in the mixing of black culture into white culture in the 70s and 80s because he was so colorblind that he couldn't see anything at all. And he still can. That is a man who's committed to his craft.
A beautiful message. A beautiful message. You hear the song Ebony and Ivory live together in perfect harmony. Which, I mean, unfortunately, we can't really sing in perfect harmony right now. But, I mean, are you Ebony? Am I Ivory? I don't know. It's just something we don't get as a culture anymore.
Right. I don't understand the metaphor.
Yeah, it's actually really lost on me. I like the sound of his voice.
But that brings us to another classic song by Stevie Wonder, Superstition. Voted as one of the greatest songs of all time by several sources, VH1 Classics, Rolling Stone Magazine, and it is. It's just great.
It's just absolutely fantastic.
But do you know what the song's about?
No.
Well, the song is, naturally, it's about superstition, but it's about superstition rooted in what is now known as the Moton Curse.
Oh.
Which is one of the main factors that led to the fall from grace of the Moton record label. The Moton Curse is it's
quite frightening, actually. It seems like during that period of time, a large part of the desperation coming from those singers was the knowledge of their inevitable demise, or the constant harrowing possibility of such an event.
And constantly dodging it. Several of the members of the early Moton record label, a lot of the Funk Brothers especially, will attest to constantly coming in close calls of, like, just barely not getting hit by cars.
Within a baby's breath of, like, a hawk fight.
Or almost choking to death.
On any type of food. Even applesauce was a danger to them.
A lot of them said that nothing of the sort had ever happened until they started working on the Moton label. Until they signed the Moton Records.
It's surprising.
So, many of them met an unfortunate fate too early.
Before we get into the Funk Brothers, I think we need to hear a word from one more of our sponsors.
Taylor, why is your face and neck so wet?
I was just getting a sip of water from the sink.
Why didn't you use a cup?
What?
It's a container which can properly hold liquids.
That's what my hands are for.
Cups are less permeable and easier to handle than hands. And not only that, but how much water do you think you can pool in your palms?
I don't know. 4 sips?
Carl's cups can hold up to 86 sips.
Wow, sounds like I need one of Carl's cups.
For a limited time, Carl's cups are buy 3, get 1 free. Carl's cups, available wherever.
Marvin Gaye, as everybody seems to know, was murdered by his own father.
Right.
Probably the first victim of this terrible curse.
Yeah. We'll talk, as far as the Supremes go, there was Mary Wilson fell into the Grand Canyon in 1974.
Yeah,
everyone remembers that.
What a scream as she dropped.
Florence Ballard, also from the Supremes, choked on a piece of pizza. Actually, the type of pizza that she choked on is now...
There's her name.
...commonly referred to as the Supreme.
Yep.
There is a... There's still debates about whether it had black olives on it or not.
I'm not quite certain.
Diana Ross, she's still alive. However, had just since the 60s, she's just been a mess of complicated medical issues from several different types of cancer that she's still battling. She now has diabetes, osteoporosis.
Stage 1 and 2, strangely, right. Simultaneously.
She has crippling arthritis and has been struck by lightning twice. Currently, she lives in the San Fernando Valley in what is called a
biphasic Quiris ventilation system.
It's pretty much a modern portable iron lung.
Made to her legendary vocal specifications.
She seems happy, though. She's in good spirits. She's still kicking it.
The lungs are just puffing away.
4 of the 5 Temptations were killed in a historic blimp accident in 1976. The only one who survived, Otis Williams, had such a fear of flying that he said that where they were going, they were doing a publicity blimp ride from Detroit to Grand Rapids.
As they, you know, were wont to do in those days, publicity blimp rides were very common.
And shortly after the blimp took off, there was a puncture and it slowly careened to the ground and they all died in the impact.
It took about 6 days for the air to escape, but no one really seemed to know how to get down anyway.
There wasn't a much way you to could help do. Back then. You were kind of on your own when you were in the air like that.
Yeah, the only thing you could really do is get another blimp up there, and that air is just, you know, full of apparently needles.
And even in the heyday of blimps, blimps were hard to come by.
Yeah.
So Otis Williams survived the historic blimp crash by not being there, but since that day has lived in what has been described as a paranoid, shut-in, delusional life. He's just full of fear. He's never been the same person.
Well, when you've been fated to die...
Absolutely.
And you haven't died, I feel like your soul is gone.
Have you ever had a curse put on you?
No.
It is terrifying.
Yeah.
So then, we also have Stevie Wonder. He's still alive, as many people know, but he's actually been pronounced legally dead
four
times since 1988, and he's been brought back each time with defibrillators. Mm-hmm. And he spent a total of 13 minutes and 8 seconds of his life dead.
Straight up dead.
Which is not a world record, I find. Mm. Right? Shorty Long was killed by a drunk driver in the 80s. Gladys Knight was killed by an allergic reaction to cashews.
Don't even get me started on the Funk Brothers.
If we're going to talk about the curse, we have to talk about the Funk Brothers.
Okay, all right. So, the Funk Brothers, you might know them as the Moton House Band. They have performed... on more number one hits than the Beatles,
than the Beatles, then Elvis Presley, the Rolling Stones, and the Beach Boys combined.
Wow.
Yeah.
Very nice.
So the Funk Brothers, they're serious. They mm-hmm. must be funk in that blood.
Yeah.
After 1972, 8 of the 13 Funk Brothers died in a matter of 10 years, including Marvin Gaye, Eddie Bongo Brown, and Richard Pistol Allen. Now, the last remaining Funk Brother was killed in 1989.
He was killed, actually, very famously in Chicago. A piece of ice fell straight through his head. Kind of like a knee.
Fell off of a building. And you know what else? There were 13 Funk Brothers, mm-hmm. and all of them have died
on the 13th day of the month.
Interesting.
Crazy.
Interesting. Yeah. So, obviously, the presence of a curse that really can't be ignored...
was really the linchpin of the downfall of Moton Records and its eventual sale to Universal. As you can imagine, no artists really wanted to be on a label that met their certain doom.
It was cursed. Is cursed.
The last person who was on there, I think, was Q-Tip, the hip-hop artist. And he... you don't want to look at him nowadays.
He's had to have some major reconstructive surgery.
So Moton Records eventually... It just couldn't survive. It couldn't thrive. In a market where every single singer was afraid of death.
No? So, I think that's... you got anything else?
I don't think there were any other groups to cover. I think we got them all.
So, I've got something kind of special for you, Taylor.
A present?
What is it? Well, it's kind of a present. It's,
All right.
We have some listener mail. All right. I know that this
listener mail!
This is only our second episode of Know It All.
We're already popular enough to get listener mail,
but
so we must be pretty smart.
Already have had one person has sent in a piece of listener mail regarding our first podcast on nudity, which if you haven't listened, you should check out. So this is from Alex, dear Tay and Kay. I just listened to your podcast on nudity and was stunned to learn the discovery of Prismo. After a little bit of research, I learned in my native Calgary, some scientists are attempting to artificially develop Prismo, a feat which I now know has baffled scientists since its discovery, like truffles.
Calgary is in Canada, for our listeners who are not in the know, as we are.
One thing you missed mentioning is Canada's annual Naked Day. Did you know that?
No, I had no
idea. Every June 24th, all across Canada, exposure and decency laws are waived, and people are encouraged to spend the day unclothed. Not everyone does, of course. I usually will spend my day in my underwear. This is a 400-year-old tradition picked up from the French. Since then, Naked Days... songs, TV specials, and all sorts of knickknacks have been developed. Even a Naked Day mascot, Randall LaRue, the Naked Mountie, and Bert his modestly hung horse, which I have sent a plush doll of for you too. You saw this, right?
Yeah, he really is modestly hung.
Yeah. Love the podcast. That is Alex from Calgary. Thank you very much, Alex. So we thank you all for listening once again.
And we hope you listen again next week when we have our podcast on Samuel L. Jackson.
Know It All with Tay and Kay is brought to you by Turtleneck Town for all your turtleneck needs.